Yesterday is our baptism day. We're going to baptize my granddaughter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a wonderful thing. I remember when I got saved, I couldn't wait to be baptized. Of course, I was coming off of a lot of trouble, though. I was, you know, the Lord really helped me and brought me out of a lot of really bad situations. And when I got saved, he just fixed things. And I say, well, what do I do next? And so that was it. So that's what I did. Father, thank you for this special day. Help us, Lord, to glean those things and to take those things away from here that you want us to have. We bless your name and thank you for the opportunity to address the issue and then also to actually perform it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two ordinances that are given for the church to follow. Only two. You'll note that depending on the church you go to, they do a lot of things, and they all call them required of God. And so, what are you going to do? But as long as the two main ones are adhered to, and that would be communion and baptism. And so, today we want to acknowledge the baptism. Communion was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. As you remember, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. This is my blood, which was shed for you." And of course, it was bread and it was wine that he served them. But it was symbolic of something. Baptism is taken from the Greek word baptismo. And it's preceded by the word baptizo. They're both Greek words. The baptizo word is, of course, more ancient, but it's still talking about the same thing. I don't know if you knew, but in the Old Testament, they practiced baptism, but it was a different form of baptism. It was in the form of washing, and they would wash their different items and things. It was used in the Mosaic law for the purpose of purification. They purified and they washed and purified and washed and purified. And you find a reference of that in Exodus 30 and Leviticus 11 and Numbers 19 and in those books. They were cleansing, they were washing, and without doing anything. If you remember that when Jesus, the disciples, were in the cornfield and they started plucking the corn and eating them, and they confronted Jesus. "Why is it that your disciples eat corn without washing their hands? Without purifying their hands?" And of course, he had a sharp rebuke for them. But it's just in one indication that they felt very highly of these washings, but they called it pretty much baptism. And that was the terminology for it. The washing and cleansing was later introduced unto the New Testament covenant. And we see it related in certain rites of initiation in the Qumran, they call it the Qumran sect. And some say that John the Baptist was associated with the Qumran sect or the Dead Sea Scroll communities. And so they have put John the Baptist there. I don't know. It doesn't say in the scripture that he was. But when you go to talking to a lot of theologians, they'll come up with answers that you didn't know even existed. And so we just thank God for John the Baptist. Amen. This John the Baptist, he caused even a greater evolution of this baptism and transition from the Old Testament practice of it into the New Testament by identifying those that were baptized as agreeing to a change or to make a change in a matter of repentance and a matter of an attitude. And he would call them, and you know, some have read about the baptism of John the Baptist, and it was the change of attitude, not just water cleansing anymore, but it's an inward dedication that he was pointing to. It was an inward cleansing, and this inward change that these people were coming to John was symbolized by the act of baptism. It was outwardly showed. basically, John's baptism was for and to the Jews. And Malachi 4 lets us know that John was the forerunner of the Messiah. And so some folks will come and say, well, you got to go to John's baptism. Well, yeah, you do need to repent, but it goes a whole lot deeper than just John's baptism. If you look in Malachi 4, if you like, it's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It's referring to a prophet. Malachi 4. And folks take a lot out of the book of Malachi. One of the things that I noticed that the church, they won't preach all of Malachi, but I tell you what, they'll go to Malachi, I think, 3:10 on the tithing issue. And boy, they will beat that tithing thing to death. They'll, they won't read the whole thing. But if you read the book of Malachi, very first chapter of Malachi, verse 1, tells you that the book was written to Israel. But the church will take that thing and they'll forget about the first verse of Malachi 1 and they'll skip all the way to chapter 3 and start preaching about money. And before you know it, you are under condemnation of God and you are robbing God and you rotten note. You're the worst shape that you ever been. And I would think about it. I say, now, hold on. Jesus Christ became a curse for me. He became sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God. Now, all of a sudden, I'm cursed with a curse because I robbed God. I was a young Christian, but it didn't make sense. So that means that everything Jesus did is just negated by my not obeying Malachi, whatever it is, 3:10. And so what we got was a bastardization of the scriptures. They took and drug it up here. And next thing you know, they would beat you inside the head with the law again for money. All right. Amen, somebody. Anybody. Listen, I'm telling you. It's a big issue. It is a very big doctrine. And it's bigger than all of us. It's really big. I tithe just because I want to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters, not because the New Testament says you better do it. I do it for the sake of fellowship. Amen. Okay, Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, Old Testament. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, Elijah is the one that was taken up in a whirlwind, remember him. He was the one that was taken up in a whirlwind. And, of course, it's really difficult from an Old Testament mind to understand anything but the sending back of Elijah, the same one, the same individual that was taken up in a whirlwind. I mean, there's nothing else to turn to, nothing else to consider. Even if it was you or me reading this scripture, we say, well, praise God, he's going to bring Elijah back because as far as we know, he never died. So God is going to miraculously send that same person back somehow, either on a cloud or a chariot or something. But then Jesus addresses this in Matthew 11. And again, to peel back what's really going on and what was talked about. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start in verse 7 just so that we can capture the context. Matthew 11, 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning who? John. We're talking about John the Baptist. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Hold up. Wasn't that in Malachi? He said, this is he whom was written, behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And stop a moment. He's talking about you. If you know the Lord, he's talking about me. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. This kingdom of heaven was still evolving at the time, but he's saying that the tiniest one, the least, the weakest one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. He said among those born among women, there's none greater than John the Baptist yet. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Already takes us past John's baptism. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied up until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Talking about John. This was Elijah, which was for to come. And if you struggle with it, he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So some folks can't hear that. They're still looking for Elijah, some of them. Messiah couldn't have come because Elijah didn't come. Jesus said, this is Elijah, which was for to come. That's what Jesus said. So he takes this thing and put it in a whole nother context. And so then he identifies this John and his baptism. And it says there that the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. And that was for those people that came. And he was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand. Yes. Matthew 5, verse 5 and 6 here says that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region went about Jordan and were baptized by him in Jordan. They were confessing their sins. John was recorded in Matthew 3:11 as making this statement. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, glory. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Again, folks get a little confused about that. Some folks say, well, you got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That means you got to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. Paul said in one place, do all speak with tongues? Have you read that? Do all prophesy? You know, do all do this? Do all speak with tongues? And so Paul was making it plain. Not everybody does that. But there are some places that will make it a requirement that before you are accepted in this group as legitimate, you better speak in tongues. Well, I hope that's not a sacred cow of yours, because if this is your first church or something, you keep moving around, you're going to run right into it. They're going to say, have you spoken tongues since you've been saved? And, there we go. They'll get you for it too. Baptism is an outward or an outside public display of an inward spiritual change. It's a public display. It's something that you do public to show what's happened on the inside of you. It doesn't save you. You don't do it to get saved. You do it because you are saved. It's in the line of progression. Some folks say, well, if you're not baptized right, then you still ain't got it right. I've seen them say, well, Were you baptized? Yeah. Well, how were you? What name? They say, well, this name. They say, oh, you ain't got it right yet. You're going to have to take it down again. Was it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, you ain't got it right yet. It depends on where you are. If you go to the name of Jesus group, they say, well, if you hadn't gone down in the name of Jesus, well, we're going to help you out. We're going to take you down in the name of Jesus. You go to the Father, Son, Holy Ghost group, and you say, well, I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I say, well, we're sorry to hear that, but this is your day. We're going to put you down in the name of the Father, Son. So, yeah. No, you hold them down until they bubble, brother. That's so bad. John 6, 3-5 says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so water baptism actually symbolizes our death, our burial, and our resurrection with Jesus Christ. It is a public symbol of something that's already happened. Baptism is one of the things that take place in salvation. And it's really salvation takes place first. A knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ takes place first. Then comes the baptism. If you remember Philip, when he was explaining, I think it was the book of Isaiah, to the Ethiopian eunuch, and they came upon water, and the eunuch said, well, here's some water. What is it to hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you can be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, that's good enough. And down they went. You understand? No man says that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't say it. You test it. Go out there and say, ask some of these folks out there, is Jesus Lord? You know? He's it's a hard thing just to come out of an unregenerate person's mouth. And I don't know why, but there's something about the confession that Jesus is Lord. Something about that name that's different than any other name. Any other name. It's Jesus Lord. That's why I say when you run across folks that call themselves operating in this gift and operating in that gift and doing this and telling you your past and telling you your future, you want to stop and say, tell me about Jesus. What do you got to say about Jesus? Tell me. Explain to me. Describe him to me. What is he to you? And depending on that answer, we'll tell you that, well, appreciate you helping me with this, but I got to go. Because if it doesn't come back, Oh, Jesus, how can I not tell you about Jesus? He is the lily of the valley, bright morning star. He is Lord. He is my. When they come, start talking and gushing about Jesus, you say, well, sit down. Let's talk some more about this stuff you're trying to tell me. But if they come back and they can't formulate it and they can't really just come out and say, without hesitation, Jesus. Well, he's, okay, I read about him. Yeah. He was Jewish and he was a good man and he healed people and, he made a lot of enemies. If they start describing the things he did and not personally making it a personal picture of who Jesus is, someone that lives inside of them at the time, there's an issue with that. Are you here? There's an issue. And so Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. No one is ever baptized until he's received God's salvation. That salvation is offered through Jesus Christ. Baptism never precedes that step. First, you're saved. If a person gets baptized and they have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the baptism is not a correct baptism. Hello? First, Jesus comes in. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He does the baptism. John said, Listen, I'm baptizing with water, but there's one coming. I can't even bear this man's shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire when he comes, you see. So don't get set on mine. Mine is just a kind of transitory, but there's one coming after me now. In other words, he's really the real deal. And that's the thing. If the baptism is not in accordance with Scripture, then it's, and you've done it and you haven't received Christ and Christ is not Lord and Savior, then you need to get baptized after you receive Jesus. Amen. I don't know how plain it can make that. I don't like to try to take things from people and tell people that they aren't saved and tell people that they don't have this and that, because I'm not God. I'm not the Christ. I don't know. I can only go by the fruit. I can only go by the fruit. But then I have a charge as well to explain these things and to handle them according to God's will. So the Bible teaches the believer's baptism. It's only believers that are to be baptized. It's not sprinkling. It's not pouring. It's immersion. Some folks love to sprinkle. Okay. I was sprinkled once. Then I went back to my old sinful craziness after that sprinkling. I kept running just as hard as I was running before I got sprinkled. And I didn't get sprinkled because of Jesus. It was because of that pretty girl that was sitting over there. That she kept saying, come on. I'm like, okay. And I took my boy with me too. You know, we got up there and got sprinkled. Mama cried. He don't know how important this is. I'm like, why is she crying? You know? Amen, I did. I got sprinkled. I got baptism like some folks two or three times. But I didn't know the Lord yet. Something wasn't right. So I kept going. So finally, he caught up with me. So I learned him and something happened. But something snapped. So yeah, it's baptism. It's found nearly 80 times in the New Testament. And most cases, it's used as an ordinance. No other word is used for this particular ordinance but immersion. That's how it goes. It means to dip or to immerse. Completely cover. Listen, when you bury somebody, do you just sprinkle dirt on them? That's not going to work. So if you're buried with him in baptism, you're not sprinkled with him. You don't sprinkle dirt over a body and say, okay, let's say, thank God we had the funeral. Mm-mm. You completely immerse. You completely cover. And so, yeah, immersion is expressed very often. The sprinkling is another word that's used only four times in the New Testament, and it's found in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it speaks of sprinkling. Hebrews 9:13, Hebrews 9:13, 9:14, 9:21, it speaks of sprinkling. And then in Hebrews 10:22, it means to sprinkle, but it never means baptism. And so I don't know, we've got these doctrines that come out that say it's okay to sprinkle and just kind of do a little something there, and that's baptizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know about christening either. Was that? Listen, the church does a lot of things that I know. Christ blessed the children, and christening, the word Christ comes, and Christ blessed the poor children. But he had a teaching behind that. Suffer the little children to come to me. Of such is the kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of heaven. Allow, in other words, don't stop the children from coming. We should be as little children. We could learn a lot from little children. We learn from Hunter all the time. Y'all sit up there stiff in your chairs and, you know, what are we going to do next? Hunter say, do number eight. we say, thank God we did number eight, you know. And we're scared to speak up. We've got to be childlike, y'all. I keep hammering this, and y'all keep getting older and older and stiffer and scared to speak. Somebody might say something about you, or somebody, well, let them. They talk about you anyway. They do. They talk about you anyway. So let them talk about you in here, because you're participating in the worship of God. Amen. A little child, the Bible says, shall lead them. I know it's from the Old Testament. But a little child shall lead them. Childlikeness is so important as believers. And, of course, it's childlikeness in faith. In other words, I see the semi-truck coming. I see it, but it's not going to hurt me unless God wants it to happen. I see it, but I'm not worried about it. I'm in God's hand. God's going to take care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, yeah. It's according to his will and his purpose. Of course, you might want to get out of the way of the truck, but, you know, it's a big example. But, I mean, semi-truck, let's make it symbolic of some situation or some calamity in life. But y'all need to stick with me here with this thing. Y'all know I'm not literally talking about jumping in the front of a semi-truck. That's ignorant. It's crazy. Of course, you know, it's accounted once on the man to die, and that's one way to go. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to take maybe 10, 15 minutes to go ahead with our baptismal service. And young people, I think is Hunter going to? We're going to go outside. Brother Bobby has prepared the baptism. We've got a pool of, what is it, about 250 gallons? How much is that, Bobby? You remember? 300 gallon pool out there is big enough to get a body in. Yeah, the whole pool is deep. The whole pool is the deep end.